Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Perestivopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome, everybody, back to The Fighting Priests. My name is Father Ted Perestivopoulos, and I'm here with my co-host, Father Thomas Sandberg. Father, how's it going?
All right. Got yeah. Some snow that I'm hoping will melt.
Snow?
Yeah, we got like horrible. 6 inches or more of snow the other day.
Calgary. We have any snow here. This is like, as we're recording this, which this episode probably won't air for a couple of weeks, but as we're recording this near the end of October, we're having like a heat wave here in Toronto. We have like 18 degrees.
Yeah. Well, the other Sunday, it was like a week ago. After liturgy, I had nothing. So me, my wife, and my kid, we went, took him to Banff. My knee's injured, as I think I mentioned in a different podcast. So I wasn't going to go scrambling up any mountains, but I wanted to just go in the mountains, you know, so. And it was like 20 degrees, beautiful fall weather, the colors and everything. And then not even a week later, no, then it was like sometime during the week, it was 24. And then a couple days later, it was like, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning with all my glasses looking out the window. And I'm like, no way. Because it was, I didn't see it in the forecast. Woke up and then I went back to bed. And then when I woke up, there was at least 6 inches and it kept snowing all day, all the next day.
Well, I don't mind the snow. I like the winter. I like all the seasons.
Yeah,
but a little bit more, just a little more fall. I would like.
Well, yeah, for me, it's like I'm feeling like claustrophobic because now being a new priest for over a year now. Well, a priest for almost 3 years, but a full time like a parish priest for a year.
Yeah,
assistant priest. I'm starting to see, especially now the lockdown's over. I'm seeing, okay, as your priest, we get to go to the clergy retreat, right? We get holidays in July if you're lucky, and then you have the clergy laity. Other than that, you're like trapped in your city. That's where I look at it. So it's like, thank God I'm here in Calgary. So when I do have a day off, I can like go to the mountains and climb a mountain and stuff.
Yeah, so it's beautiful there. You have
now, now the snow's coming. It's like, oh man, now I'm really stuck in this city.
But you can still go. You can do stuff in the winter.
Yeah, I got to. Yeah, once I, you know, I'll figure out stuff to do. Go skating.
There's hiking in the winter. There's
snow, oh yeah, there's
snowshoeing.
Yeah, the last mountain I did, Heart Mountain, I read you can do that one. Yeah, because I do scrambling. Like, to be clear to people listening, I don't do mountaineering like with ropes and stuff. I like scrambling. Yeah, some scrambles are definitely dangerous because it's just you. Some people do use ropes and scrambles, but I do not. I just like to scramble, and some of them definitely are challenging, and you could definitely die. But this mountain, the last one at Heart Mountain, I did read that one you can do all year round because the Chinooks come in and all the snow comes off. Because shortly before I did that one, I read a trail report and it said there was 4 inches of snow up there. And I was like, what? And I knew it had snowed in the mountains. And then when I got up there, I could see remnants of snow. And then I think after the fact, I read that the Chinooks come in. So that mountain, where it's positioned, so it's pretty much clear to scramble all year round. So maybe I can do that one sometime.
Do you ever do like snowshoeing and stuff?
Yeah. No,
never.
I have never done snowshoeing.
You can try it.
Yeah, well, I've done cross country skiing, but we'll see.
I don't like cross country skiing, man. I find it like I did downhill a lot when I was young.
Oh yeah,
like downhill skiing, and then I stopped. Like, you know, I stopped like in high school. I did a lot when I was like actually even in grade school. I started like grade six. I started like young, and I really liked it. But then the cross country. It's boring. Downhill's fast. It's fun, you know.
Yeah.
But snowshoeing, I've never tried it, but like I thought, you know, you're hiking in the snow. It could be fun.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. See how the winter goes.
Sure. Nice.
So maybe I'll just focus on training jiu-jitsu instead.
Yeah, that would be good.
That's what you do in Winnipeg in winter time, right? So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I like the winter the winter months are good for me. Like some people slow down with jiu-jitsu in the winter, but I just speed up because it's like there's less things to do outside. There's less things, less parks to go to, less events. So it's like
Yeah, no, just train inside more, you know, it's great. Nice. Well, today we were going to talk about a topic that actually you had kind of brought up a while back, and I was thinking about it, and something we haven't really talked about before, which is applicable to jujitsu and I think even to the spiritual life, but especially jujitsu, this idea of natural ability versus kind of like people who need to work hard at something. So, okay. And I was thinking, well, the two of us are a perfect example of this in the sense that as when it comes to the jujitsu, for example, like some people are naturally athletic. You're a naturally athletic. I think you are. You may disagree, but you're a naturally athletic person. Your constitution, like the way you are, like you're physically, you're a thinner person, you're more muscular, you're more athletic build. So it's like, you don't, you know, you work out, of course, and you exercise, but you have more, it seems that you have a more athletic build than me. I'm a big guy. I'm heavier. I am definitely not thin and athletic and muscular. It's a two different kind of body types.
You used to play football in high school.
Yeah, I know. Oh yeah. But like, and when I was smaller, when I was younger, I was thinner, but like, but you know what I mean though? Like some people are just naturally gifted physically. And then of course, also people are naturally gifted even mentally, in the sense that for some people, jiu-jitsu just comes like super fast. Like they understand it and they pick it up very quickly, and other people, they don't. And we've discussed a little bit about this before, because you've told me about like you having difficulties kind of picking up, like remembering techniques and kind of like in your brain. So that's what we were going to discuss a little bit about that. You know, it's like, what is this kind of like natural ability versus people who have to work at it? And can, like, I guess the question that I would have is that, you know, and can people who are not naturally gifted, can they be as good? Can they keep up with, can they compete on the same level with those people who are very gifted or naturally gifted in things? What your thoughts would be on that?
Yeah, I always think of like, for mixed martial arts, I think of like BJ Penn, because BJ Penn was naturally gifted, right? He got his black belt in jiu-jitsu at a super short amount of time.
It was like 2 years, 3 years?
3 years, something like that.
Yeah.
But he also short. Like comes from a wealthy family, so he can train more, right? So there's that. Yeah. Also, so it's like having natural ability plus not having to worry financially. Of course you're gonna excel fast then, right?
So wait. I unpack that for a sec, because that's an important point. It's like natural ability, which is coupled with the opportunity, I guess you would say. So like having opportunities to be able to train, you know, what's the word, unhindered by other parts of life, like just having unlimited access to training.
Well, yeah, it's like the kids who start training when they're 13 or younger. Now by the time they're 16, they don't have anything to worry about financially, so of course to couple that with natural athletic ability, right? Parents make food for them, especially now. There's a lot of, like, I just blessed a home recently. And the guy is, I think he's in early 20s, and he's pro bono jiu-jitsu, but his family clearly, he works now, but I don't know about, you know, I just met the family recently, but I don't know about, but clearly when I saw his room, he has tons of medals, right? So you don't get tons of medals and travel to California when you're young, unless someone's helping you, right? So there's always that. There's natural ability, financial freedom, right? Even people who have to work, natural ability helps. But the point, BJ Penn, they always said, like, he didn't, some people who have natural ability don't they don't put in as much work as they should or could, especially if you're financially free, you could even put even more work in. So
yes,
there's that.
Yeah, but you know what, that's an interesting point too. That's that, you know, some people who have natural ability, it's not that they get cocky, it's just they don't feel they need to work as hard, because it comes so easily to them that they can actually hinder their progress, like, or not reach their full potential because, you know, they feel, well, I don't need to work that hard, so why work hard? Like, I remember growing up with my sister, as an example, academically speaking, my older sister, I have two sisters. My older sister's 3 years older than me. She's a Pesuteta as well, so she's married to a priest. So she was always the better student, But she had to study a lot. So mm-hmm. she studied a lot, like we're talking about hours, and she would always get like super high marks, like 90s and everything, right? Like super honor roll person, all this kind of stuff, right? Me, I was a pretty good student, especially in high school. Like I was, you know, like if she was like a 95 average kind of student, I was like an 85, 87 average. So it's pretty high, right? Like still honor roll, I guess you could say, whatever, right? But I didn't study half of what she studied. Now, I'm not smarter than her, but I had to study, you know, I studied less and I was a little lazier because I was like, yeah, it comes more naturally. I can remember things a little easier. I can do quite well on a test or on a paper without having to do that much work. If I did the same amount of work that my sister was putting in, I could probably hit 90s. But why? I like my social life. I like doing other things, right? So there's that balance between like the natural ability and then like I had more of a natural ability, but I didn't cultivate it as much. And then she had less, but she cultivated more and she actually excelled more than I did academically. So that was interesting to see. So I wonder if that translates into jiu-jitsu as well. Like somebody who doesn't have the natural ability, but works harder than the person who does and squanders it.
Yeah, I guess it's different because I think academic success is almost useless. All right, that's what I think. I think like studying a lot for school is not helpful for life. And some might say studying hard for jiu-jitsu or training hard is not helpful. I disagree because we see how sick everyone in society is and lack of exercise and lack of mental stimulation. So I think jiu-jitsu is good for you. But yeah, no, but I don't know. Conor McGregor talks about it before. I don't really like Conor McGregor, but he said he said something. I believe it was him who said it. He said it's like a blanket statement. He said there's no such thing as talent. There's just hard work. At least for him, I guess. He was, because people say he has talent. I guess he would disagree. He says it's just hard work, putting in the hours over and over, just being dedicated to. And you can see where it got him, if that's accurate description from his point of view, right? And then look where he is now, where he's not putting in the hard work, and he's who knows if he's ever going to come back, right? But
I don't think he doesn't need to, right?
Well, yeah, that's the thing too. If you're fighting for money, as compared to for the like love of competition or love of martial arts, whatever, that's different. Because yeah, that's one thing to remember too. When he first got to UFC, he was on welfare, right? That's what Eddie Alvarez ragged on him for. He was saying you were sitting at home on welfare when you got your first UFC belt. So that's a different way. If you're looking, I need to fight to get to where I want to be, and you get there, then if that's your only motivation, right?
Sure. Like if that's what he wanted to do to secure, like for his family and for his future.
Yeah.
And he already, well, then why fight again?
Yeah. But yeah, what's that quote? Isn't it like hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work? There's a phrase like that from wrestling, or maybe Matt Hughes said it, but it's true. I just think when it comes to this issue, this is how I think of it. Do you know the movie, some movie with Ethan Hawke, is it Gattaca? You know, a movie with Ethan Hawke.
Yeah. The Ethan Hawke in the future where they genetically modify.
Yeah. And they genetically modify people, and him and his biological brother. Well, I guess his genetically altered brother, whoever, right? They would always swim when they were kids, and Ethan Hawke's character could never make it, whatever. And then eventually he does. He has to, I guess, doesn't he rescue his own supposedly biologically superior brother? And that's when he knew, then he leaves home. So it's kind of, I always remember when I watched that movie growing up, that always stuck with me as a metaphor for things in life. Right.
Yeah. I remember that scene I was saying, and I remember saying, oh, you know, how did you beat me? And he says, well, I never left any energy for the way back, because they were going like to a far point. They had to swim back. And he goes, how did you win? The brother asked, the superior brother. And he says, well, I never saved any energy for the way back. I just gave it my all. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I always stuck with me and study, especially as you growing up and you study biology or the theory of evolution. Right. And especially now when you look at the far left, there's like this idea that we're like we're like stuck in our meat sacks, I guess, the way they view it. Like we're like this ghost in a machine, you know, and we're like trapped to our biology. But I've always thought through athletics or martial arts, you can overcome your so-called biology, right? By hard work. You can always become more than you are. Like, I don't really, there's definitely limits, like certain body types will never lift certain amounts of weights, blah, blah, blah. But you can always go further than you currently are, I think, even if it's just a little bit. You can always go more, you can work harder, you can put in more hours. There might be when you might be at a plateau for a long time, but eventually you will go up, whether it's just a little bit or a lot.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult problem. No, not a problem, like a question. Like a lot of different kind of, there are a lot, I think there are a lot of different factors, but like how does one balance even like psychologically and even spiritually, like the gifts that God has given them, like from a Christ point of view, the natural gifts that like the charisma that we say, the charisms, right? The gifts, you know, how does one balance the gifts that God has given certain individuals over other? So, you know, everyone has different charisms from, you know, at least this is what we believe, right? And how does one balance that? What's given to you versus our call to cultivate it?
Mm-hmm.
Because like,
yeah, that's a good point of view. Because like for me, let's say I do not have a good voice for chanting, but as a priest, you chant a lot, right? And or even like my pronunciation of Greek won't be as good as a native speaker. Even if my knowledge of the ancient Greek we use in the church is better, someone with less knowledge who can still read it, it'll sound like they have more knowledge. So those are things I have to work on, especially the chanting. That is definitely not a strong thing, right? And it's so public, so people can see that. Whereas all your other natural talents you have that in the priesthood, like maybe your pastoral sensitivity or really relationships and stuff like that, people won't necessarily see that the way you see someone who's not good at chanting in a church. So it's something you always have to work on. So I always have to work on that.
Yeah. I agree with you. Like it's what is seen and what is behind the scenes, I guess you could say, are less understood. Right.
Well, yeah. Even like jiu-jitsu, like with, okay. So I've definitely never been obese or fat before, but I've definitely been brutally unhealthy with past lifestyle choices. Right. And then, so I might look, now I'm healthy and everything, but mentally I'm like not the best at focusing on things all the time. Like when you, a lot of the memes you see in jiu-jitsu, it's like looking over to the guy next, but it's like, I still do that. I'll be listening, like, okay, what? Not all the time, but sometimes. Depending, especially if it's in the morning, right? Compared to the evening, in the afternoon, but there's always different areas. So physically, yeah, I think you got to make them all come to the physical, the mental, and then the natural talent, hard work.
Yeah. I agree with you. Like, so from my point of view, it's like I'm the opposite in the sense that I have been obese. And I have been like heavily overweight and also not very active. One could say I'm still obese, who knows, right? For like my body mass index, for sure, right? Too heavy for my height, whatever, right? For my frame. But so I have that as a disadvantage, but I tend to remember techniques quite well. And I tend to retain quite well, right? So, as opposed to, let's say, other people, right? So that can give me, like I noticed in the dojo, right? Like, so they'll be like, you know, the younger athletic guys, or even guys who are the same age as me or older, who are more athletic, faster, stronger, you know, and so they have that advantage over me. But as far as like progression of, like retention of knowledge, right? And retention of technique that can actually be applied in a practical sense, I might have an advantage over that. And that a lot of times balances out the encounter, like the rolling, right? So I remember like Arthur told me this once, like, so Arthur, again, one of my professors, I did a lot of privates with him, and he always used to tell me, he's like, you know, I was always down on myself, like, you know, I know I'm probably not the best student because I'm like, I'm older and I'm slow and I'm fat and all this kind of stuff, right? And he's like, no, he goes to the contrary. He goes, you know, he always used to tell me, and I think he wasn't just telling me to encourage me, but like, just he was being honest with me. He goes, no, he goes, you're actually one of my best students because you actually apply what I teach you, right? Mm-hmm. So you retain and you review and then you apply it in your actual rolling. And I go, oh, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? Like, don't all students do that? Like, for example, people do privates with you, right? Like, if you're spending money to do a private mm-hmm. with an instructor, which can be expensive, you would think that you would take advantage. He goes, no. He goes, you'd be surprised. The majority of people who do private, they waste their money because they come, they pay the money, they learn whatever I show them, even like very basic things. And then it's like recycle bin dump. They don't remember it. They don't apply it. They don't practice it. You might as well just burn that money, right? And so it's a waste of your time. It's a waste of your money and your resources. So he goes, most students are like that. And it's disheartening to see because it's not about the money. He goes, like, it's like, okay, yeah, they're paying you to do something to show them some things, but when they don't use it, it's not satisfying for me as an instructor. It's not going to be satisfying for them because they're going to be stuck. So he really goes, no, you're like, he goes, you actually apply. I'm like, oh, okay. So he goes, and that's going to help you in the long run because other guys who are faster or younger, whatever, but if they can't remember half the techniques, okay, eventually you're going to be able to learn the, you know, find the holes in their games and exploit it. Right. And that's, I do find that like, that's the only way I survive, like on the mats. It's that, you know, people make the same mistakes and you adapt, right?
Yeah. That's the thing too. Even a natural. Yeah. So natural ability could even hinder you. I think, especially in jiu-jitsu, if it's your natural ability is strength, especially as you're developing, because you can use strength to like bench press out of side control. Like guys do this, right? But it's not a good technique because then eventually once you do it against the higher belt, he's just going to armbar you or mount a triangle. Like there's so many things you can do with off of that when someone uses strength to get out of positions. So if someone, and you'll meet guys like this, who'll go from white to blue and they'll just focus so much on strength that their fundamentals will not be where it should be if they just focused on the technique, right?
Yeah, and there's always somebody bigger too, right? So even if you don't have a more advanced belt, mm-hmm. well, one day, like we said this like in a few podcasts ago, you know, when I went to Masters Worlds, like there's always somebody bigger. Those guys bigger than me. Yeah. So you can't bench press them.
Eventually, yeah, someone, right? There'll be someone to bench press you, so you need to work on the...
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and I've noticed this like even like with, friends of mine who were blue belts way before me, and maybe like, you know, during the pandemic, they didn't train a lot, or they didn't really focus on actually retaining or drilling anything, right? And then they come back and it's like, well, now they're doing the same game that they had before and they don't change, right? They don't evolve. They just do the same stuff over and over again. And even though I'm coming up behind them, mm-hmm. well, now though, it's like, well, I have so much more knowledge because I didn't stop, right? I kept learning and retaining and kind of digesting a lot of stuff. So now it's like, they don't know what to do, and it's not like I'm so much better. I'm not. It's like, but it's not challenging anymore, as mm-hmm. if they were with a white belt, right? Because they become stagnant, even though they're talented, they're athletic, and they're talented, and they're, you know.
Yeah, because I had guys like that, like who were blue belts when I was a white belt, and then eventually, like, I'm a black belt before they are. But it's just a matter of, because I think I found the right balance of my natural talents. And then I slowly stopped doing anything else except for jiu-jitsu until I mm-hmm. went back to school. Then I had to slow down training. Right. So.
Yeah. 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 And you see it in black belts too, right? Like, it's like there are, we've talked about this before. It's like there are black belts who are very diverse, and explore, and they try new things out, and they're always, you know, they're always adding new things to their game, and they're like experimenting, right? And they're very, they're diverse. That's the best word I can think of, right? And then there's black belts who do like the same four moves or even the same two moves. They're excellent at it. Don't get me wrong. It's not like that's what a black belt's like, but it's the same two moves. Don't ask them to do anything else. Mm-hmm. They won't do anything else. Like, it's like, which, okay. And they'll hit that move on you over and over, and you know it's coming. You can't stop it because they're so good at it, right? Nevertheless, there will be gaps in their game.
Yeah. No, I knew I used to train this one guy who's a heavyweight or ultra heavyweight or whatever. And he'd always like get Kimura from inside your like half guard or whatever, right? So eventually
He would do that to you, or you would do that to him?
He'd do it to everyone, right?
I do that to people too.
Less than a day. So eventually I was like, okay, looking at this position, like, how can I counteract this? It's like, well, before he gets a grip on, let's say if he's going for your left arm, if you get it underneath his left arm, you're now in like octopus guard, and so you can octopus sweep him from there. So you just sweep him from there. And then now you got to worry about him getting back on top, but at least you negated one of his top three best moves that he always does for a little bit.
Yeah. And if he doesn't adapt and add something else now, well, that's mm-hmm. one less tool. So you've eliminated one of the tools against you. Mm-hmm. So now, you've already advanced beyond him in that point, like at least for that little part of the game.
Yeah, that one little spot. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So what happens if everybody catches onto their game and the game is very small, it's mm-hmm. a limited tool bag, and now everybody has been able to surpass. Well, then now you're going to have blue belts and purple belts tapping you because mm-hmm. you don't know how to adapt to add other things, right?
Yeah.
And that's part of like ego as well. I think it's like, well, this works, I'm just going to keep doing it
mm-hmm.
over and over again, right?
Yeah, it's like with the lower belt when you submit them with the same thing like two times. Okay, well, it's not from you. It's a lot of lower belts will just expose things. So say, okay, well, you keep exposing this, but I'm not going to take it anymore. But just so you know, like if you're just going to respond in that way, you're always going to get caught that way, right?
Yeah, you get and as the higher belt, you should be doing it to him all over until they finally learn the lesson not to do that
mm-hmm.
at some point, yes. Right? Like. If you get armbar like five times in a row,
because
you're extending your arms, maybe you shouldn't extend your arms, right?
It's difficult. Like I guess it goes like the whole thing about the hard work and talent. Because there's some people you'll meet and you're like, you'd almost swear this person's never going to learn or advance ever, right? And so I know a lot of people say, oh, jiu-jitsu for everyone. I think Christian from here, one of the guys that I mentioned before. Him and guys, I think even Clark Gracie has mentioned before that maybe jiu-jitsu isn't for everyone. Like the way it's from a business point of view, everyone can do jiu-jitsu. So yeah, everyone can definitely learn to defend themselves to a point, I guess. But there's some people where it's like, man, that's as far as you're going to go. I don't know what that is. But then it would come down to, but why is that? Is that their natural talents? Or is that their hard work, or their hard work's not pushing them past their natural talents? I don't know. I'm not an instructor, so I don't know the psychology behind all that, but it's definitely something you see some people and you're like, man, this guy he's going to be a blue belt or pro belt forever.
Well, some people's brains don't work that way, right? I've told you, like I have one good friend who's we've known each other for a while now. Right. And he's older and nicest person in the world, right? But yeah, he was like a blue belt for 7 years. And like, it's just one of those people where you need to, like, they need to learn the same thing over and over and over, and it takes a very long time for them to retain it. It's just very limited amount of retention, right? And this person trains and also does a ton of privates. A ton. And the retention is like 10%. Right. So that's unfortunate, but that's just the way the brain works. Things like you can't force the person to be, you know, I don't know if that individual can be forced to be better or different in it. Right. So it's a lot of energy just to retain 10%. Like and the still making the same mistakes and still kind of like, but it is what it is, but he loves it. And just he keeps doing it, even though like, it's not, you know, okay, like it's going to take a long time to kind of progress. The people that he started with are now black belts.
Yeah.
And this person just got purple. Like, but it's been like 10 years of, right? Of just two belts.
I was talking with Professor Josh the other day, and he said something like it. I guess because he's as an instructor, it's like he tries to tell people don't I know there's ranking and you compare yourself to the people, but he said ultimately you shouldn't compare yourself
to
the Cool. It's kind of like that. What's the way I think of martial arts, especially jiu-jitsu, is like, what's that quote? It's basically it's like I'm competing or fighting against myself, right? Mm-hmm. Myself of yesterday.
Oh, this is well, there is one quote from Hensel Gracie where he says, you know, the my opponent is my teacher, my ego is my enemy.
Okay.
That's one of them I'm thinking of.
That's other quote. It's like definitely this quote I'm thinking of. I'll have to find it. It's maybe I'll find it, put it on my Instagram. But it's basically battle is to be better than myself of yesterday, right?
Yes.
The end of the quote does mention about lesser men or something, but the first part is more about like this you and yourself. Right. That's ultimately what you're doing. It's like, are you better than you were last week? That's what should matter. Not are you better than your friend over there? Because everyone's gonna be different. Right. Because you could even have the same amount of natural talent, same amount of potential work effort, but if one guy he has four kids, you have one kid, or one guy, maybe they can't have kids, right? So he's gonna have more options. So that's why you shouldn't compare yourself to other people. You should compare yourself in competition. That's what competition's for, but not like in the gym. There's definitely some people you'll see in your gym, in your class, like you'll see, you'll say, okay, maybe that guy's not fulfilling his potential. Like he could be better for whatever reason, which is a little worse, but
that's for the professor to know.
Yeah.
And as long not as, for us.
Yeah. And as long as he's enjoying his journey, then who cares, right? No one's he's paying to be there. He's not being paid to be there. So it doesn't matter.
Sure.
People always forget. It's like, if you're paying to be there, then, and you're enjoying yourself and you can at least defend yourself when it matters at a basic level. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah. So basically our semi conclusion from this is that, you know, you can have all the natural talent in the world, but there's a lot of other factors that are affecting that natural talent, whether you reach your full potential in that with that talent, whether you kind of sharpen those tools or not, and, you know, mindset, ego, life, you know, life circumstances, finances, things like that, all those either, you know, are going to, you know, they're going to affect that natural. So it's not only natural talent. Like people, because I hear people complain, it's like, oh, yeah, that guy, he's just gifted, you know, like just naturally gifted, and we're not all like that, and we're never ever going to be at that level, and you know, what's the point? And like, you know, you can't even like, you know, aspire to that. And my response is always, well, okay, yes, some people are just naturally gifted. They're just, sometimes they're prodigies. Like, I look at my professor, like, I look at Arthur, who was like teaching from Blue Belt, because he was so like, just his brain is like a genius when it comes to jiu-jitsu, like just the way he unpacks everything. And I don't have that talent, right? You know, you see some of these young guys, like, you know, like Rotolo brothers and things like that. These guys are like prodigies in the way they, Michael Galvao, these guys, you know, you see them move and it's just like, okay, geniuses in this field, right? In this area. And of course, yeah, great. And they also have the athleticism and they also have the money to do it. And they also have the backing and yes. Okay, great. But that doesn't mean though that you can't in your own right cultivate things, you know, and reach beyond even, I think you can even surpass your own perceived natural ability. You know, I never thought in my life ever, you know, this, you back when you started jiu-jitsu and it's like, we met and he's like, I never thought I would ever do martial arts. I never thought I would do jiu-jitsu. I never thought you know what I mean? Like you told me about it. You would tell me, I never said, oh yeah, I'm going to go do this. And I never, ever thought that I would be able to do the things that I do now, right? Or move the way that I'm now. I never thought I would compete in my life. I never thought I would win, right? So I never thought I had that natural ability to even be able to do it. Like I thought, oh, you know, I'll go try it, but I'll be like the fat father who just shows up self-deprecating way, but like, you know, I'll be the hobbyist. When I first started, I'll be like, you know, I'm going to go because my son goes and I'll do it for my own health and it'll be good for me. And I'll just be the hobbyist who shows up once in a while and rolls a bit, whatever. But I never ever conceived from the beginning of that I was going to go compete and I was going to take it more seriously. I was going to be training 5-6 times. You know, I never thought about those things at all. So, you know, it's, I don't have natural talent, physical natural talent. Right. But, you know, it's like you said, hard work, you work hard as hard as you can, and you can overcome some things. Right. Yeah. And I think that's more important. Sorry.
I was gonna say everyone go watch Gattaca.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Wait. Yeah. He learns how to, get around the system. Right. And he was able to convince everybody that he was genetically enhanced and stuff like that. Yeah. It's a great movie. Yeah. I think Jude Law was in that as well. Where Jude Law was the guy in the wheelchair where he took his identity.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. And he used his identity because he was genetically enhanced, but he had an accident. Right. And so he used his name and stuff like that and whatever to be able to get into the system. But, I know it is interesting. In the end, though, it's all excuses, right?
Mm-hmm.
You either have them or you don't, right? So you can make excuses for everything. But I was listening to to finish up and wind down a bit. I was listening to My White Belt podcast with Jim Trick, who we had on the podcast a few episodes ago, and I really like. And he just interviewed. Is it the first blind black belt? Alvarez is the last name. Forget the first name. The
Brazilian guy?
Yeah, right. And he interviewed him and his story, which is just a fascinating story. But, he started jiu-jitsu, he could see, and then he lost his sight and all this stuff, right? And it's just so it's like everyone's got excuses, right? But in the end, if you want it, and he said, and that black belt, he said, he was like, in the end, he goes, doesn't make a difference. Like, if you want it, you just keep going in training and you'll get better and that's it. And just shut up and go train. Like, don't make excuses. I can't do this and I can't do that. It means you don't really want to do it. Right. So you keep going. And then he never thought that he would make it to black belt and be a professor. And especially when you're blind, how crazy is that? Right. How do you even teach? How do you find a new way? How do you even learn? It boggles my mind.
Yeah, no.
Amazing. How does somebody show you the technique, right? It boggles my mind. But so if they can do it, we can do it too.
Toronto BJJ once, I believe there was a guy who had stopped in. He was a brown belt, and he also was blind.
He was going blind.
He was blind. I can't remember. I can't remember his name. He's another one. He's on social media, but he definitely. But I think he might have been blind his whole life, though. So, check.
Wow.
I definitely remember when I saw him, he was definitely blind.
Yeah. Was he good?
I think so. I think he competes. I know I didn't get to roll with him, but I think I've since seen him on social media, and he definitely wins tournaments, I believe so.
Yeah. Well, this guy, too, who was on the podcast, Alvarez, he competes. Yeah. And how do you compete? And he's like, they allow me to get a grip. So... Mm-hmm. They make an exception that they allow because he can't see. Obviously, they start stand up, right?
Could be potentially dangerous, right? Just get double.
Yeah. Leg. So they allow both to get grips.
Yeah.
So the opponent agrees as well because it's fair if they both have grips, right? Yeah. So they both get a collar or they both get a collar sleeve. It's equal. It's the same. And then from there, as long as he has a grip, then he can start the fight, right? But that's crazy. It's amazing. Just I saw another guy who was at Masters Worlds who had one leg. He was in my weight class.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to fight him, but I never got that far. Right. But he had one leg. He had an amputated leg below the knee. And he was awesome. I saw him fight on flow. He had a good half guard. Right. Yeah. And it's just, you play to your, so it's you talk about natural ability and then you have you could talk about disability that becomes an advantage, right?
Yeah,
that's fascinating as well. So yeah, it's interesting, but I'm glad you kind of thought of this we were talking about it earlier and brought this up because it was just the two of us we're very different as far as just body types and ability and all this kind of stuff the level and things like that. Of course, you've been doing it much longer, but it was and then somehow though, we both love it and we both train in different ways and all these different people and somehow there's fulfillment there and you follow your journey, right? So in the faith, it's the same thing. Some people are naturally gifted in chanting, like you said. Some people are not, like you said. I'm more naturally gifted than you are, I think. I'm not trying to be mean.
Oh, it's true.
That's the way it is, right? Like, it's just voice wise, right? Like, vocal cords are given to us. And we're not, we don't keep them. But ironically, when I was a kid, I sucked. I was not a good chanter when I was young. No. When I first got up to chant in church when I was like 14, I think, it was horrible.
Oh, I think you told me this before. Yeah.
Yeah, horrible. Like, it took time. Like, some people, like some of our friends, like Father Tim, you know, natural ability, 12 years old, you know, chanter extraordinaire, you know. Mm-hmm. But for me, it took cultivation. I didn't have a natural kind of knack for it. That came later. It took a lot of time. A lot of Byzantine music was hard for me. Now it seems that it comes easy. I think it seemed like that, but it was not easy at the beginning. So it's not, and the same thing in the spiritual life. You know, some people love liturgics. Some people don't. Some people are really, really good at fasting. Some people are not, for various reasons, whether it's psychological or physical. Some people are good at, solitary life. You have monastics, you have people living in the world. You have all these different characters, right? And like jiu-jitsu, it's like, what I like about orthodoxy is that there is something for everybody, right? So if you like a lot of service, there's a lot of services. If you like fasting, there's fasting. If you like chanting, there's chanting. If you like reading, there's tons of reading, right? Scripture, fathers, whatever, theology, things like that. If you want to like stimulate the brain and you have a theological mindset, right? But if you don't have a theological mindset and you don't have a mind, I guess you could say, for academia, you don't need that in Orthodoxy. You don't have to be an academic or to be, you know, big into like reading deep theology to practice your faith. There's something for everybody. And in jiu-jitsu, there's something for everybody too. Like you said, like, you know, you can't compare yourself to the people. Professors grade and they promote people based on their own ability, based on who they are and who they were a year before and the year before that. They don't compare them to the other students, or they shouldn't, rather. So,
yeah.
And we do that as priests too, right? Like, when we hear confessions, like, you don't compare the one person confessing to you to somebody else. Well, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's all relative to the individual and their own personal spiritual journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we're almost out of time. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we should wrap it up.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time, Father. And I hope that we continue training, and let's touch base in a couple of weeks. We'll see everybody soon with our next episodes. We do have quite a few guests lined up, so we're trying to kind of get all those lined up in the recordings and everything. We're going to have some interesting different personalities on, some different backgrounds that we've never heard before, so that's going to be really, really exciting. So we're always interested in meeting new people, and we're going to hope to bring that to you guys in the next few weeks. So God bless everybody. Take care. Keep training. And we'll see you soon. Take care, Father.
See ya.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests. Feel free to download us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, or anywhere else you get your content. Check us out on Instagram at The Fighting Priests. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at thefightingpriests@gmail.com. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul.